So just to tell you where we're up to, so at least we can take this moment of time to open up the Gemara to Daf Kuf Heyam at Beis. On Daf Kuf Heyam and Aleph on the bottom, the Gemara was vacillating back and forth as to whether or not you could fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush if in the event that you weren't Mekadesh at night, can you be Mekadesh during the day? And we mentioned that there are two ways of understanding the Gemara and what the possibility, what would be the significance and meaning of being Mekadesh by day. Would it be the real Kiddush, the original Kiddush, and you fulfill that mitzvah? Or would it be a Tashlumen, and it's just kind of like a makeup? And here on the top of Daf Kuf Heyam and Beis, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. And the Braisa wants to know what happens in the following scenario. Let's say, for example, you have some good stuff that you can eat either Friday night or on Shabbos day. And this is the Kiyum of Kvod Shabbos. And in this case, you have to decide really which is more important, Kvod HaYom or Kvod HaLaila. And the Braisa establishes that Kvod Hayom Adif, that what we'll do is we'll delay, and instead of eating this food on Friday night, we'll push it off to Shabbos. Now, in the case of Yayin, there's a bit of a tension here, because if, let's say, you only have enough Yayin for one kos, then if you delay it till the daytime, which would be Kavod Hayom, then you're left without a kos yayin for Friday night Kiddush. On the other hand, the good news is that if even in the worst case scenario that you delay and you postpone the yayin until the daytime, so you forfeit Kiddush at night, but you still have a fallback opportunity of being Mekadesh during the day. So according to that side in the Gemara, that if you miss Kiddush at night, you could be Mekayim Kiddush by day. So it would seem to make sense that if you only have kos, you have only enough wine for one kos, then you might as well, instead of using it up for Kiddush at night, push it off till Kiddush by day, and you'll get the best of both worlds. You'll have on the one hand the kiyum of Kvod Hayom Adif, so you'll have the wine to be drunk on the day, and at the same time you'll still fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush. But that would seem to depend on our two definitions. If it's the original mitzvah of Kiddush, then it makes sense, then you chaperein both, and you get both kibbutz. But if it's only a tashlumen, then you really forfeited the Kiddush at night, you're just doing a tashlumen for the sake of Kvod Hayom. So now you ask yourself the question, which is more important, Kvod Hayom or Kiddush? Yeah, Michael?
I've got two questions on that. First of all, can't you make Kiddush on Chalot on Friday night? I don't need wine to wait on Shabbat. And secondly, I think you're not supposed to postpone a mitzvah.
Oh, so this is the sugya called Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. And we'll try to understand what that means. If you take a look here on the fourth line, the third line and the fourth line on Daf Kuf Hey Amid Beis, you'll see the principle called Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. So basically what we're having here is a case of the following. If the Braisa says that if you only have one kos, Omer Olav Kiddush Hayom, Mipnei Shekiddush Hayom Kodem Lechvod Hayom. So what do you opt for in this case? You make Kiddush at night, even though it means that you're going to forfeit that extra kiyum of Kvod Hayom because it's the only wine that you have. So once you drink up the wine for Friday night Kiddush, you forfeit the Kvod Hayom.
Do we know why is Kvod Hayom on the Yom as opposed to the night?
Well, that's based on the pasuk of Zochar Yisyom HaShabbos Lekadosh. The Gemara says that's by day. That the Iker Kvod Hayom is by day. The Ramban in his Pirish on Parshas Yisro has a long discussion, but it's mostly based on Kabbalah. Mm-hmm. And he says that the night is the Bechina of Nekeva, and the day is the Bechina of Zohar. I mean, it's very complicated, very esoteric. And the art school is not going to help you here because they skipped the whole thing. It's beyond the scope of this elucidation. A fascinating Ramban, very long. Yeah. So now we're sort of in a different mode now. We have to decide between the following two. You know, the halacha is so typical of halacha. It always has to decide which is more important, which is greater, which gives way to which. You've got on the one hand the mitzvah of Kvod HaYom. On the other hand, you have the mitzvah of Kiddush, which is Balayla. And the mitzvah of Kiddush takes precedence over Kvod HaYom. Now, we'll try to analyze this as we go along. But let's just shoot out shooting from the hip, a quick svara, and we'll say that Kiddush might be Doraisa. And even though Kiddush al Yayin is probably not Doraisa, but nevertheless the Yayin gets somehow incorporated into the framework of a Kiyum Doraisa. It becomes integrated into this Doraisa of Kiddush. And therefore, even though Kvod Hayom is a great mitzvah, but it's derived from a pasuk in Yeshaya. It has a status which is a little bit below a doraisa, which is called midivrei kabbalah. And in this collision, in which I have to decide between kiddush, which is doraisa, and kvod hayom, which is midivrei kabbalah, the doraisa trumps the kiddush, which the kvod hayom, which is only midivrei kabbalah. Again, we'll have to fine tune it as we go along, but just. As a general overview. So now the Gemara doesn't understand. Why is this a conflict? I don't understand the conflict. There is no conflict here. He says the following. He says, why not just simply delay the Kiddush until the next day? We just established a rule that if you didn't make Kiddush at night, you can make Kiddush during the day. So he says, "Mitnei sheyayin lekiddush hayom." He needs the yayin for kiddush hayom, and that's kodem, and that trumps kvod hayom v'yom isa. But if you'll tell me that if he didn't make kiddush at night, he can make kiddush during the day, is l'shavke, let him leave the kos yayin ad l'machar until Shabbos day, and then it'll be mekadesh v'le'avid beitarte. He achieves both goals. On the one hand, he'll get the kiyum of kiddush al yayin, albeit not at night, but the day will substitute and replace the night. And at the same time, he'll get the kvod hayom of shtiyas hakos by day. And this seems to indicate that when he doesn't make kiddush at night, he actually forfeits the mitzvah of kiddush. And therefore we're in a real head-on collision here in which we have to decide between Kiddush and Kvod HaYom, because he cannot postpone Kiddush. There's no opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush by day. On the lace, the Gemara says, no. The truth is that you can fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush by day, but Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Okay. Also, the Chasam Sofer is famous for saying that Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita is reason makdimim lemitzvahs. And I'm here to present a different thesis. I'm a big fan of the Chasam Sofer. I don't want anyone to get the wrong impression. But I would counter-argue against him. I'll tell you why. Because what the Gemara wants to establish here is that there's some fundamental difference between Kiddush at night and Kiddush by day. If the Gemara is just operating within the principle of Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs, okay, you can do a mitzvah early in the day, you can do it a little later in the day, one has more zrizus, one has less zrizus, but that's all external to the mitzvah, that's all to embellish the mitzvah. Instead of getting 99 points, you get another extra point, and maybe even more, you get extra credit, you go extra brownie points, and therefore it enhances the mitzvah. But that's called Zrizim Makdimim LeMitzvahs. I wouldn't say that if somebody wakes up at 6 a.m. and he does a mitzvah, and his buddy wakes up at 7 a.m. and does the mitzvah an hour later, that there's a fundamental difference and the first guy is fulfilling the mitzvah and the second guy is not. They're both fulfilling the mitzvah. One guy gets added credit for Zrizus. But it's all an external element in the mitzvah. It's not integral to the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah is identical at 7 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, during the entire course of the day. So if that be the case, why should I forfeit Kavod HaYom and the possibility of making Kiddush by day for the sake of Kiddush at night if it's only Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvahs? Therefore, I would like to suggest an alternative shot. There is a principle called Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvahs, but there's a different principle, another principle called Chaviva Mitzvah V'Shaita. Now, what I mean to say is the following, that when there's an urgency in the mitzvah, when the mitzvah has a time element where earlier is different than later, and that earlier mitzvah transforms into mitzvah. In other words, what I'm saying is this is not some sort of external kium of showing my love of Hashem by being a Zariz, but this really changes the nature of the mitzvah. That's called Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. What's the source for Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita? It's not here in Masechta Pesachim. It's actually a sugya in Menachos, in a parak called Rabbi Yishmael. There's only one parak in Masechta Menachos that really belongs to Moed and does not belong to Kodshim. And that's Perek Rabbi Yishmael, because that's all about bringing karbonos on Shabbos. And the Gemara is based on a principle which is derived from the Torah. The Torah says, Olas Shabbos b'Shabbato, which means that there's a certain karbon ola that is special for Shabbos, singled out for Shabbos. And by bringing that carbon ola, you violate many different malachas of Shabbos. But the Torah says you have to bring it on Shabbos. So then the Gemara raises the following question. Within the context of Kodshim that come on the Mizbeach, there's something called Chalavim Ve'evarim. These are parts of the animal that have to be burnt on the Mizbeach. But that's not the Ikur carbon. There's a fundamental difference between the carbon itself and the Hekter Chalovim Veivarim. The Hekter Chalovim Veivarim could be postponed until the night time. Now normally there's no Avodas Migdash at night, but in the case of Hekter Chalovim Veivarim, since it's not really the integral part of the Avodah, it could be done and fulfilled even at night. So the Gemara says the following. What happens with Ola Shabbos? I understand that the Torah is telling me to bring the carbon Ola on the Mizbeach on Shabbos, and forget about Shabbos. But what about the Hekter Chalom Veivarim? Do I have to do that also on Shabbos? That's also Malacha of Havara. Why not postpone it till when? Till the night time, which is after Shabbos. So Gemara says, Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. Now, if Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita is just reason like Dimla Mitzvahs, why would that override the Shabbos? What's overriding the Shabbos is Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato, which means the kiyum of the mitzvah of Karban. So the Gemara is obviously activating the principle of Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita to change the entire essential nature of the mitzvah of bringing the Karban Ola. That Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita means that there's a certain urgency in the mitzvah. We want to fulfill the mitzvah B'Shaita, and that extra B'Shaita enhances and transforms the mitzvah itself. So now, if it's a mitzvah of Karban Ola, then Ola Shabbos B'Shabbat, that's Docha Shabbos. But if it was just a separate mitzvah of Zrizim, of showing God how I love you, then that wouldn't be enough to be Docha Shabbos. Here we have a perfect example of Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita, which is not just Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs. If I could postpone Kiddush till the day, for the sake of obtaining an extra kiyum of Kvod HaYom Adiv, because I only have one cup of wine, no one would say that I'm lacking in my Avos Hashem. I don't love God enough, because why didn't I make Kiddush at night? There was a very good reason why I didn't make Kiddush at night. And that is because I wanted to obtain the kiyum of Kvod Shabbos. Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita tells me that with regard to Kiddush, there's a certain urgency. And B'li Neder, I hope, as we go along in the sugya, we're going to be able to try to establish why is there such an urgency in Kiddush, and that there's a fundamental difference between Kiddush at night and Kiddush by day, to such an extent that the Gemara wants to say that we're not going to forfeit on that difference, we're not going to lower the level of Kiddush, even for the sake of Kvod Hayom, and Kiddush insofar as it's a mitzvah d'oraisa is going to take precedence, and we're going to forfeit the yayin for the day of Shabbos. And we're gonna opt in favor of Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush.
Why didn't they just? I think we're gonna learn later on about how the wine was so strong in those days. They used to dilute it. Why didn't they? If they had a full cup, a cost of wine. Why didn't they just use half a cup of wine in each day, each time, and then just dilute it with wine water?
It would already be diluted.
Well, we have to know a lot about the shear of Yayin for Kiddush. And the shear of Yayin for Kiddush has to be fulfilled as a, within a certain ratio, a certain proportion between water and what's called concentrated wine. In those days, they started with very harsh concentrated wine, and then they added and diluted it with water. But you can't add too much water. The question is how much water you're allowed to add, and that's going to be machlokas even to this day between the Machaber and the Rambam, the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim, exactly which wine you're allowed to use. But does Kiddush require a shir? That's going to come up now in the sugya. What is the sugya now going to talk about? Eventually the shir is going to come into play here, but we're talking about the following situation. As we mentioned last time, back in the day, this is not something that we recognize so much, but back in the day, they were very careful about Birkas HaMazon al Kos Shel Yayin. It wasn't just a matter of voluntary decision like we do it today, but there was a definite halacha that Birkas HaMazon should be recited over a cup of wine. Even if you're alone, by the way. It doesn't have to have a Zimun or a Minyan. Birkas HaMazon should have a Kos.
During the week as well?
During the week as well. It's a general halacha in Birkas HaMazon. Why does our sugya discuss the case of Shabbos? Because he only has one kos and he needs it for Havdalah. So here's the scenario. It's Shabbos. He can use the kos for Birkas HaMazon on, let's say, on Suda Shlishis, but then he won't have a cup of wine for Havdalah. Or he could postpone the Birkas HaMazon until after Shabbos. He's going to take the kos and use it for a double header. Namely, he's going to use it for Birkas HaMazon and he's going to use it for Avdol. And the Gemara says that in order to achieve this goal of using the Kos Shel Yayin for two kiyumim and achieving two mitzvahs, we're going to go as far as to allow something which we normally don't allow, and that is to eat after Havdol. So the man comes home from Shul, Motzoi Shabbos, he's got one kos of Yayin, he's going to have to eat a meal at some point. Here are the two options. He can use the kos for Havdolah, which is great, because it means he won't have to eat before Havdolah, which is a problem. But then he forfeits the kos for the meal that he's going to have subsequently, which requires a kos shel Birkas HaMazon. So on the one hand he gains, on the other hand he loses. What he gains is that he won't have to eat a meal before Havdalah, but what he loses is he will forfeit the kos for Birkas HaMazon. So the Gemara says the following. I'm just giving the background so it'll be easier to read through, plow through the text of the Gemara. That we'd rather allow him to eat his meal Motzoi Shabbos before he makes Havdalah, and then use that one single kos of Yayin as a double header for both Birkas HaMazon and Havdalah, even though it means postponing Havdalah, and even if it means eating before Havdalah, but at least he'll be able to have a kos with which he achieves two kiyumim, the kiyum of Havdalah and the kiyum of Birkas HaMazon. I, who remembers the sugya that we had a few weeks ago, which is called Ein Osim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. We don't like to use the same cup of wine for two different mitzvahs. That's being a cheapo. But the answer is that in this case, we don't have a choice. All he has is one cup of wine. It's not that he deliberately organized it, that he will have to be mekayem to both mitzvahs with one kos. That's the situation that arises or that was compelled upon him, whether he likes it or not. Now we want to get a kos, which is both Kiddush and Havdalah. So what we're going to do is, we're going to allow him to eat his meal. He's going to recite Birkas HaMazon and Havdalah over the same kos. Now, this all is predicated on one premise, namely that he can postpone Havdalah. But let me tell you that I believe, and I think we can prove it here in this sugya, that Havdalah is time urgent. Although again, you know, if you didn't do it immediately, you could always do it for the next 3 days until Tuesday night. But l'chatchila, in terms of the mitzvah itself, chaviva mitzvah v'shaita, not chaviva mitzvah v'shaita of the chsam sofer is reason makdim l'mitzvah, but chaviva mitzvah v'shaita in terms of the nature of this mitzvah, the mitzvah is time urgent, and if you postpone it, there's some transformation in the very essence of the mitzvah. So therefore, if we allow him to eat his meal, then we're postponing Havdalah, and insofar as Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita is concerned, what's going on? We have now delayed a mitzvah which is time urgent and should be fulfilled immediately. That's the Gemara now. Umi Amrinan Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita. Are you going to forfeit another kium for the sake of Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita? So you're going to drink the wine for Kiddush at night because of Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita, even though you'll be forfeiting the kiyum of Kvod Shabbos because you won't have the kiddush, you won't have the yayin for tomorrow, for Shov Yom Shabbos. Vasanya, Hanichnas Lebeso, if he comes home, B'motzoi Shabbos, and now he has a chiyuv of Havdalah, but he's only got one kos. And now, first of all, the Braisa wants to tell us, what is the Seder HaBrachos of Havdalah itself? So number one, Mevarach al Yayin, first comes Bor Pri HaGofen, and then we have the minhag of doing Besamim at this point.
Right.
But this brisa reflects the Shita Beit Shammai, and Beit Shammai says that we recite the Bracha on the Eish al HaMa'or first, and only afterwards al HaBesamim. We'll see a discussion why Beit Shammai insists that you switch around the order that we're familiar with, Beis Hillel's order, and that Besamim should come last. The Acher Kach, Omer Avdol, Kosi says, Baruch HaMavdil, Bein Kodesh L'chol. Oh, V'im Ein Lo Ela Kos Echad. Now what's he going to do with Birkas HaMazon? The man has to eat a Suda. He's going to have to recite Birkas HaMazon. And if he's already used up the cost for Avdolah, what's going to happen here? He's going to forfeit a cost of Birkas HaMazon. So the Braisa says, you know what? I have an Eitzah for you. You can have your cake and eat it too. May Nicho li Achar HaMazon. Let him eat his meal. Delay everything until he finishes his meal. U'mishal shalon. And he combines, he integrates all these brachas, Kulon li Achorav, all together after he finishes his meal. Over the cup of wine, he'll recite Birkas HaMazon and Havdalah. Again, we're going to have to discuss the following question. We had already the Seder of Havdalah on a regular Motzei Shabbos. What's going to be the Seder on this Motzei Shabbos? Should he recite Birkas HaMazon first and then Havdalah? L'chor, that's the only option that he has here, because if he wants to be Mekayim both Kiyumim of Havdalah and Birkas HaMazon on the same kos, he's going to have to recite Birkas HaMazon. Then he's going to have a Bor Pri HaGofen on the kos, and that Bor Pri HaGofen will function in a dual capacity. It will not only conclude his Birkas HaMazon, but it will also be the advent, you know, the first stage in Havdalah. The law of reading, so the Gemara now asks the following question. We're not going to say Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita. How is he allowed to eat his meal and postpone Havdalah? Havdalah must require an immediate Havdalah. You don't delay Havdalah. And by the way, Rabbosai, from this Gemara, we should derive conclusions for ourselves. A lot of people, and I'm not excluding myself here, you know, take their time in reciting Havdalah. Okay, look, if you have to wait for someone to come back from a different minyan, and it's a longer minyan, and he's going to be the one reciting Havdalah, he has to be Yotzei with Havdalah, there are all sorts of justifications. But just to stop, lay around, sit around and schmooze, and postpone Havdalah, that's not such a good thing. And keep in mind, he's already davened in shul, Mayriv, so he already made his Havdalah in shul. And the poskim say that Havdalah that he recited in shul is enough to be matir malacha. So basically now he's in the mode of chol. He can turn on the lights. He should be making Havdalah immediately. And that's called chaviva mitzvah shaita. Omale, so he answered him, Ano lo chachmiya, ano, I'm not saying that I'm a chacham. Velo chuzo, ano, I'm not a seer, meaning a navi. Velo yichida, ano. And I didn't say this because I think it's a very valid opinion of Adas Yochid, Ela Gamrana, but rather I learned it from the Beis Medrash, the whole yeshiva, Visadranana. I just am organizing and presenting what I heard from my Rebbeim, the Chein Morin B'Bei Midrasha Kavase. And this is the final psak, as it's presented by the Beis Medrash, that if you only have one kos, you're going to postpone the Havdalah until after your meal. And if you'll ask me, well, what about Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita? Isn't Avdolah a time-bound mitzvah? So now the Gemara introduced a whole new element. With regard to Kiddush, we said that we're going to insist that he make Kiddush at night, even though he's forfeiting Kvod Hayom. And why? Why does he have to make Kiddush at night? Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita. But in the case of Avdolah, we're not going to apply the principle of Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita, which means that if there's another reason why we want to delay Avdolah, in this case, in order to achieve a double kiyum, not only the kiyum of Havdalah Alakos, but also Birkas HaMazon Alakos, then, you know what? We have good reason to suspend the principle of Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita. And why is that? Shani Lani Yule Yomim Yafuki Yoma. There's a difference between Kiddush, where we want to receive the Shabbos. It's absolutely urgent that we receive the Shabbos at the very beginning of Shabbos, and that's a time urgency. And Avdol is different. That's called Afuki Yoma. That's saying goodbye to Shabbos. With regard to Iluye Yoma, taking in the Shabbos called Kavan Demakdamin and Lay Adif. What's best and what's preferable is to be Makdim and to recite Kiddush as early as possible. Umechaviv and Lay, and that's a Chavivus that we demonstrate by making Kiddush immediately. But Lafuki Yoma, to say goodbye to the Shabbos, and here we have an overriding reason what's pushing us to delay the saying goodbye to Shabbos. That's the Birkas HaMazon, is Machrin and Lay Ki Hechi Delo Lehevi Alon Kituna. Tuna means a masa, a burden. He says we don't want to show that Shabbos is such a burden. We're gonna forfeit the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon Alakos in order to say goodbye to the Shabbos. We have to say goodbye to the Shabbos immediately. No, that would be a demonstration of the fact that we want to get rid of this masa and we want to go out of Shabbos as soon as we can. Now, Rabosa, I think that in this line of the Gemara here, Leyule Yoma, we have a revelation of sorts as to why Kiddush is time bound. Let's think about these words, Leyule Yoma. We have a fundamental difference between Shabbos and Yontif. Yontif is engendered through what's called Kabbalas Hayom. We accept the day as Yontif. Shabbos, on the other hand, is Kvi V'Kaimei. It's the seventh day, and it's Shabbos, whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not. In fact, the Chasima of the seven brachas, the middle bracha on Shabbos, is different than that of Yontif. On Yontif is Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. On Shabbos is Mekadesh HaShabbos. And the reason for that difference is because Yisrael have to be Mekadesh the Yontif. They have to be Mekadesh the Zman. Shabbos is Kvi V'Kaimei. And therefore it's Mekadesh HaShabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadesh the Shabbos. However, there are two dimensions to Kedusha Shabbos. There's one dimension that's Kvi V'Kaimei. Whether you like it or not, Shabbos is upon you. There's another dimension of receiving the Shabbos, of being Mekadesh the Shabbos, that we can sanctify the Shabbos. That's not the primary mode of Kedusha Shabbos. Shabbos is Kvi V'Kaimei, but there's an additional kiyum of being Mekadesh the Shabbos. And how do we do that? How do we achieve that? Through Kiddush. That's what the Gemara means, I believe, by Iyule Yoma. Iyule Yoma means to take in the day, literally. What do you mean to take in the day? To accept the Kedushas HaShabbos. And that's why, you know, the Talmidim of the Arizal used to go out into the woods outside of Tzfat, and they would be Mekadesh the Shabbos, and they would receive the Shabbos HaMalka. The Rambam talks about going out and being Miyachel, the Shabbos HaMelech. Okay, he calls it a Melech. This is all because we have an element of actively accepting the Kedusha Shabbos. Tosef Shabbos is a beautiful example of our actively participating in being Mekadesh the Shabbos. And there's one sugya Masech the Shabbos that I never understood. The Gemara says if you're stuck on an island, that's not what the Gemara says, but anyway, you don't know what day of the week it is. So the Gemara says you count 6 days and you observe the seventh day of Shabbos. Now, what are the statistical probabilities that day is really Shabbos?
One in seven.
One in seven. Even I was able to figure that out. The answer is, you're not going to necessarily be mekayim in the midst of Shabbos. If it's a Tuesday, I'm sorry, buddy. But there is an element of being mekadesh the Shabbos. And that element you can achieve by counting 6 days in a case where you don't know, and being mekadesh the seventh as Shabbos. It's not the real Shabbos, but it's that human element in Shabbos that's called Iyule Yoma. And therefore, I have two choices now. I can either make Kaddish recite Kiddush immediately, as soon as it's nightfall, or I could start delaying it, dilly-dallying. Well, the answer is that if I want to be Mekadosh the Shabbos, I want to be Mekadosh the totality of Shabbos. It's like I once heard from my Rebbe with regard to Sfiras Omer. Tosfos seems to be of the opinion of Menachos that you should recite Sfiras Omer and count the day as early as possible. So my Rebbe asked, well, what's the big deal? And he used to say that Tosfos is of the opinion that the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer is not just to count the day, but to make the day counted. You know, it's to turn the day into a Yom Sofer. And you want the entire day to be a Yom Sofer. Here also I want it to be the entire day should be a Yom Kudah. Shmamina Miya Masnisen, from Miya Miha Masnisa, we can derive from this Braisa Timne, 8 different halachas. Okay. Now we have to keep our thinking caps on. First of all, Shmamina Mavdil Bitfila Tzarchi Abdul Akos. Oh, this is the easy one. That even though he recited Havdalah already in Tefillah, he needs another Havdalah Akos. Why is that so? I don't know. Has to be analyzed. After all, the Iker Mitzvah Havdalah, he was Mekayim by saying Atachon Antanu, and you separated from Kodesh L'chol, and that he did in Tefillah. No, the Chachamim require a second Havdalah Akos. Why? In the case of Kiddush, I can understand. Even though he recited Kiddush during Ma'ariv, he needs a second Kiddush Alakos in order to set up a Suda Shabbos. You remember we discussed that Yayin kicks off the Suda Shabbos. But in the case of Havdalah, there's no Suda that comes after the Havdalah. Perhaps what the purpose of Havdalah Alakos is to clinch or end the Suda's Shabbos, and now henceforth all the Sudos become a Suda's Chol. Number two, Shmamina Bracha Tuna Kos. You see that we push so much that the Birkas HaMazon should have a kos, that we're going to alleviate the Iser of eating before Avdolah in order to guarantee that he has a kos for Birkas HaMazon. So we're doing okay. 2 out of 8. We're a quarter of the way there. Ushmamina Kos Shel Bracha Tzarech Shir. Now here it becomes a little bit complicated. And this touches a little bit on what Michael was asking before. He's got a limited amount of yayin. Why can't he split it into two? And even if you'll argue, well, if he splits it into two, he's only going to have a small amount for each kosher bracha, for the kosher, because the Muslim kosher have a dollar. So what? It's no tragedy. It's nice to have a full cup, but it's okay if you have a half a cup.
You have to have a minimum.
The answer is that there's a minimum. There's a minimum shear. Let's assume, again, it's complicated, that the minimum shear is Rov Revius, which is Moli Lugmov. Let's say it's a Revius, whatever it is. I think they say 4.3 ounces.
Rove.
What?
The Rove of 3.3.
Oh, 3.3 is considered a Revius. Okay. I think the Chazanish has a different shear of 4.4 or something. Yeah. They say they found the Chofetz Chaim's Kiddush cup. It's very small. But be that as it may, whatever that shear is, he doesn't have double that shear. And in other words, it's an either-or situation. If he doesn't double them up, but rather he wants to have two different kosos, he's not going to be able to achieve that goal because he doesn't have two revios of yayin. That much he doesn't have, and he needs a shear of yayin. Now here's a long discussion in the poskim, because it would seem that in Kiddush, and maybe even in Avdolah, it's not critical that you drink a Revius. You can have many different people, each of which will drink less than a Revius. You can even possibly have a Katan drink the wine. The main thing is that the Bari Priya Gofen, which is also Birchas HaNenim, should not go to waste if nobody drinks for the Kos. But does that mean, therefore, I need to drink a full shear? Could be the Gemara means something else. The Gemara is not telling you have to drink the shear. The Gemara is saying that the kos as a chefta has to have a shear. Ushmamino Hamivorech Sorech Shiyito. Okay, this comes back to our other discussion. It's not enough just to recite the Kiddush on a kos yayin, and the yayin has a shir. It's more than that. You need shtia. If you don't need shtia, then why not recite two brachas on the same kos, and nobody drank any of it? So the kos still has that shir. All you have is a revius yayin. But you can use that revius yayin time and time again without drinking. But the answer is no. It's not just enough that the kos is royal shtia shir, but you need a shtia before. Excellent question. But why the word te'ima? It doesn't say shesia, it says te'ima. Now later on in this Masechta, when we get to the Sugya Dalet Kozos, we're going to see one word that repeats itself over and over again, and that's shesia. Nowhere does it say te'ima. And the post can pick up on this. Now the Ramban has a very extreme shita. He says that shtia means you have to drink whatever's in the cup, or at least most of what's in the cup. So you have a gigantic cup, which is roif ha'og melech ha'boshen, you've got to drink most of it. But other poskim say no, that shesia means that one person has to drink, it can't be divided into many people, and perhaps each person has to drink, and we're not going to say shtios mitztarfos, and add Reuven shtia to Shimon shtia. But in any event, the mitzvah is shtia. Te'ima means that the kus has to be subject to shtia. Not that there is what we call a chofetz gavra, that each person has to do a shtia, like in the case of Dalet Kosos Derech Cherus. Here, you just have to link up the bracha onto the kos, and you link up the bracha onto the kos through te'ima. Now, literally, te'ima sounds like you're taking a minimal amount. And there are poskim who say that that's sufficient. But that's going to be very difficult in this Gemara, because, again, how much does he have? He has just exactly a revius b'tzimtzum. We have a principle called the Yefshel Tzamtzum. So it must be that he has a little bit more than a revius. If he has a drop more than a revius, he can just be towing that extra drop and still have a revius for the next kos, which let's say will be Birkas HaMazon. So apparently te'ima means something in between tasting a drop and drinking a shir, which is shesia. Maybe it means Mali Lugmav. Mali Lugmav is a different shir, and that's called te'ima. And again, what's the purpose and the goal of te'ima? It doesn't supplant or replace a shesia. It's enough to link up the bracha with the kos. The fact that you hold the kos in your hand is not sufficient. That doesn't mean that you've achieved that linkage, that siruf between the recitation of the bracha and the kos. You need te'ima.
Isn't that how we paskin the for the shir of wine for Kiddush is Malei Lugma? Is that correct? Or not?
I don't know. We'd have to look it up. It's in Reish Ayin Aleph. If you take a look. I'm sure there's going to be...
Kippur.
Oh, Yom Kippur, because we can't drink it.
You give the cup then, right?
Shmamino, what number are we up to? Who's keeping a scorecard?
Five.
Five? I think we're up to five. Shmamino, Tamo Pugmo. In other words, if you're assuming that he has to taste some of the wine, but can he taste the minimum amount of wine in such a case that he can still have enough for a viz? And then again, that's assuming Yefshel Tzamtzum, that he has a little bit more. It's also assuming that te'ima just means tasting. So the answer is, it becomes a kos pogum. And this is gevaldik chiddush, because I would have said pogum only applies if you have a shtiel at sarko for his own benefit. But here he's drinking for the sake of a mitzvah. Maybe a shtiel's mitzvah is not pogum the kos. And the answer is that vis-a-vis a second kium, a different kium, shtiel, a te'ima, is the same as a te'ima shalol litzara chamitzvah, litzarko el velo litzarka. Why? Because vis-a-vis the other mitzvah, what obligation, what kium do you have in being towing from the kos? So now becomes a kos pogum. Ushmamina ta'am mavdil. We're going to soon see later on the shita Ravasi. Ravasi says that once you eat something after Shabbos, you can no longer make havdalah. We're going to have to understand why. It's a very radical, harsh shita. But here we're saying that even though he's eating his meal before havdalah, he can still be mekayim the mitzvah of havdalah. Now we go on to kuvav amin al. Shmamina. And this is the seventh Shmamina, if I'm not mistaken. omesh de kedushas al kosecher, even though in the sugya daf kuf beis we established that eidos and mitzvahs chavilus chavilus, but that's because he has two kosos. Here he only has one kos, and we're going to allow him to recite two brachos on the same kos. Shema mina beit shamayhi. That this b'risa reflects the sheet of Beit Shammai, the way it was interpreted by Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Beis Hillel, we start with Besomim and then we go to Ma'ar, whereas Beit Shammai says we start with Ma'ar and then we go to Besomim. The reason for that is because we're already benefiting from the Ma'ar, and therefore on that Hano we have to make a bracha. Now Rav Ashi is going to reduce it from 8 down to 7. Why? Because Rav Ashi has a different take on Ein Lo Ela Kos Achas. He's going to assume, not like the Gemara assumed before, that he has more than a Revius. He's going to assume that he only has exactly a Revius. In other words, he's going to reject the principle of the Efshol Etzamtem. He's going to hold that Efshol Etzamtem, you could actually measure out exactly a Revius. And therefore, if he only has a revius, then tamo pogmo v'koshel bracha tzarech shir. That we cannot derive two different halachas, but rather chada milsahi. V'hachi kamer, my taima, why does the b'risa have to piggyback both mitzvos, both brachas on one kos? Is because tamo pogmo has nothing to do with the shir. Because what we're saying is that since he only has exactly a revius, then once he's toem, he's pogging the kos in such a way that he doesn't have a shear anymore. So again, says Rav Ashi, there's no absolute proof here that the shtia itself, the ta'ima itself, is gorim of pgam. Maybe even if it's not gorim of pgam, he's doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, but nevertheless, Koshel bracha tzarech shir, and since he only has exactly the shir b'tzimtzum, once he's toim, that te'ima reduces it to less than a shir, and therefore he's not yotzei. So again, Rabosei, it seems from the final maskana here of Ashi, you cannot prove anything about tamo pogmo, but rather you could prove that koshel bracha tzarech shir. Now the Gemara tells a story about different Amoraim and how makvid they were in general on this pegima to avoid a kos pogum. Let's say in a classical case of a kos pogum, right, where I used the kos and I drank from it for my own enjoyment.
Rabbi, you have a question.
Yeah.
So is a Gemara dealing with a case where he even doesn't have a chamar medina for Havdalah?
Ah, that's interesting.
Because that's really a ninth
Shema Minah.
Right.
Avdala
needs Yain.
So the truth is that we paskin that Avdala is fine on Chamar Medina. I'm not sure if we had it explicitly here, or it's coming up later on, but it's Lahedja. So you're asking, why are we racking our brains to try to set up two Kiyubim on one Kos? Why not just tell him that for the sake of Avdala, he should take Chamar de Medina? Birkas Amos and the Rambam Paskins, I happen to know that you have to take Yayin. You cannot take Chamar Medina for Birkas Amos. But you're asking, so what? Let him go ahead and make Havdalah on Chamar Medina and save this one kos of Yayin for Birkas Amos. Excellent question. Let me research that.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Bedochak, I'm going to tell you that he doesn't have Chamar Medina.
Right.
But I'm wondering if there's a better answer to your question. So the Gemara says the following: how far do we have to go with this chashash of pagam? I understand very well if I have a cup and I drink from that cup for my purposes, that's pogam the kos. But what happens if I go back to the bottle itself, the container that has lots and lots of wine, a great massive volume of wine in it, and I was pogam by drinking a little bit out of this massive jar? So the Gemara says, Rav Yaakov bar idi kopit achatzba. Pegima. Now the word chatzpah here is translated as a kad. Kad in Hebrew is kind of like a jar in English, which means that he has a lot of wine in a jar, and he drank straight from the jar, and then Rav Yaakov said we can't use it for Kiddush. Rav Idi Bar Shisha went even further. No, I'm sorry. Let me skip for a moment. Marbrav Ashi went even further. Kapir afilu achavita pigimasa. He's got a barrel of wine, which has the equivalent volume of many, many different jars and kadim of yayin. Even so, if he drank something from the chavis, again, it's not that he poured from the chavis, but he drank directly from the chavis. I mean, he must be a big fellow, and he was able to pick up the chavis and drink directly from the chavis. Then I will not, says Marbar Vashi, I will not use any of the wine, the balance of the wine in the barrel for kiddush. Now, in the middle between these two, both of whom are building one chumra and then further a chumra, we have a kula. And who's the mekil here? That's Rav Idi Bar Shisha. He's only worried about the kos itself. Anything that contains a larger volume beyond the kos, that's not considered a pegima. And basically he's saying that the idea is that the kos is singled out or dedicated for a mitzvah. It's a kos shel bracha, kos shel kiddush, and you could be pogging that kos. And by the way, this is the halacha that if you finish Kiddush, Havdalah, and the like, and there's still leftover wine, you could reuse that wine, but we're still going to be machmir because it was already in the kos. So what we're going to require of you is not to add wine to the kos if you want to use it again for another subsequent kosher bracha, but rather to put it back in a larger container, and therefore it becomes part of a kad or a chavis, and it loses its status as pog. Tana Rabbana and Rabbo say, now starts the excitement for tonight. Zochar es yom ha-shabbos l'kadsho zochreu al hayayin. Now wait a second. The pasuk is very innocuous. All it says is, remember the Shabbos and sanctify it. It doesn't say a word in the pasuk about yayin. And here we have a long discussion in the She'iltos, which is Rav Achai Goen, and the Netziv, who wrote a super commentary on the Shiltos. Why does the Gemara, how does the Gemara know, this Bryson know, that Zachar es Yom HaShabbos means Ala Yayin? So you'll take a look at Tosis Divya Maskel Zochreyu. He has a long discussion about this. I'm just going to summarize it for the time being. And he says the following. There's a Pasuk that says, Nazkira dodecha miyayin. Notice that this pasuk in Shir HaShirim mentions the word Nazkir or Zachar, and it says yayin. There's another pasuk in Hoshea HaNovi. It says Zichru ki yayin levanon. And again, the word Zechar appears together with the word yayin. And therefore, there's a connection here between Zechar creating a Zikaron and yayin. However, the Shiltos has a whole different take on this. And he mentions a Gemara in Brachos, in this context, here in our Gemara Pesach. What does Gemara Brachos talk about? Ein omrim shira ela al hayayin. Shenemar vatomer lem hagefen echdalti es tiroshi amasameach elokim vanoshim. That when I want to sing the praises to Hashem, and be mesameach Hashem kaviyochol, I do it over wine. So how am I mesameach here through the shira al hayayin? And therefore we have a principle of ein omrim shira al hayayin. So the shiltos el al hayayin. So the shiltos is adding a whole new element into the equation here. We're not talking about the word zachar per se, but rather that the whole purpose of zachar Yom HaShabbos is to recite shira, to thank Hashem and praise and sing to Hashem for giving us the Shabbos. We have to do it over the cup of yayin because ein shira el al yayin. We'll see as we go through the sugi. We'll see a nafkamina here based on this understanding of the shiltos. But the real confusing part of the braisa is the next line: ein li el bayom. The Torah says, Zochres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. We therefore require Kiddush by day. The Laila Minayin, Tamalom Zochar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Says a ribui for Laila. The Gemara says, I don't get it. Are you telling me that the Iker Kiddush is by day? We just finished saying that the Mitzvah is Kiddush by night. In the best case scenario, if you didn't make Kiddush at night, and all things are equal, we'll allow you to make Kiddush by day, but that's not the Iker Kiddush. Balaila minayin, says the Gemara, Adarabba. Ika kiddusha balaila hu kaddish. You know, the Raisa seems to be saying that the Iker Kiddush by day, and now Minayin Balayla, how do I know the Ribui that even Balayla you should recite Kiddush? That's just the topsy-turvy of what we know. And here's another proof for what I said before, that you're being Mekadosh the Shabbos through Kiddush, and that has to be at the beginning of the night. Techi Kaddish, Tchilas Yoma, Boile Kiddush. As soon as there's you have this encounter with Shabbos, that's when you want to be Mekadosh the Shabbos. And that's what Tchilas Yoma means at night. And therefore, Vesu, furthermore, Balayla minayin tamid lo mezocher es yom haShabbos lekadsho tana mehedra alayla v'kadnosiv lekod the imama. The pasuk, the Tana of this price is looking for a proof to establish that there's a mitzvah of kiddush by night, and it quotes a pasuk that says the mitzvah of kiddush is by day. El Baradig Mar says, Hachi Komar, we have to rewrite the Brisa. There was an error in the transmission of this Brisa. And here's the way the Brisa should read. Zochar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, Zochreu al Yayin Bikni Soso. In other words, now that you're entering into the Kedusha Shabbos, you have to recite Kiddush. So what is the key word in this pasuk here? L'Kadsho. L'Kadsho means at the beginning of the day when this Kedusha Sayom. And that's at night. Now we have a secondary kind of kiddush, and that's by day. And Yom HaShabbos here is going to tell me that even on Shabbos day you could be mekayim in the midst of kiddush, but the ikar midst of kiddush is certainly by night. By Yom Mevorech, and here we get to the sugya called Kiddusha Rabba. You're familiar with that sugya. That by day we make what's called the great kiddush. So the Gemara says, "By Yom Mai Mevarech, what is the bracha that you recite at night?" Om Rav Yehuda, Bori Priya Gofen. All you recite is Bori Priya Gofen. Then Ravashi heard about this. Om Rulei Likadish Lon Mar Kiddusha Rabba. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. By Yom Mai Mevarech. Let's start again. I think I said it wrong. What I meant to say is that, okay, there's an extra Kiddush by Yom, and that's derived from the Pasuk of Es Yom HaShabbos. What is he going to recite by day? Does he have the whole series of brachas and the whole line of Kiddush that he did at night he should do during the day? Om Rav Yehuda, no. All you need is Bori Priya Gofen. Now Rav Ashi shows up in a place called Mechuza, and he's a little confused about this. Omru Leila Kaddish Lan Mar Kiddusha Rabba. They asked Rav Ashi to be mechabed him by reciting Kiddusha Rabba. And again, we're going to have a long discussion here about why it's called Kiddusha Rabba. Havule. So they gave him a kus. Savar, he thought, my new Kiddusha Rabba. Why do they call it Kiddusha Rabba? Omar, he thought out loud, I shouldn't say out loud, but he thought in his mind, Michti, Kol HaBrachas Kulam Bor Priya Gofen Amri Bereisha. We start with any Seder HaBrachas by reciting Bor Priya Gofen here on Kuvava Mibes. Omar Bor Priya Gofen. So he recited Bor Priya Gofen. He knew that any Seder HaBracha, no matter what this Kiddush is made of, it certainly starts with Bor Priya Gofen. So that he knew he could recite. But the Agid Bey, he was confused. He didn't know whether they meant that since it's Kedusha Rabbah, it's a great Kiddush, he's going to have to recite the whole long Kiddush. So Agid Bey, what does Agid Bey mean? He extended it. He was looking at the eyes of the people at the Shabbos table. He was hoping somebody would give him a clue as to whether they were waiting for another bracha or they can drink the wine because Kiddush is over. Chazia, he saw Lahu Saba, he saw an elderly statesman, the Gochin, he bent down, the Shasin, he started drinking. His Karya Nafshi, he considered himself Chacham Eino Barosho, that he was able to do this, and he looked around to see that he only has to make one bracha. So again, Rabbo said, we'll just read a little bit more, and then we'll come back to the question of why Kiddush on Shabbos day is called Kiddusha Rabbah. After all, the Gemara's conclusion, and we saw that already in Rabbi Yehuda, is that all you need is one bracha of Bori Priya Gofen. Amri b'nei Rabbi Chiya, Mishalo hivdil b'motzoi Shabbos, mavdil v'holech b'kol Shabbos kulo. So he has the entire week to make up for Avdol if he missed it on Motzi Shabbos ad Kama. The entire week, the Gemara says, Amr Abzera ad Ravi b'Shabbos. Up until but not beyond the first half of the week. So the first half of the week goes up to Wednesday. Wednesday is not included. And therefore, on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, he can recite Havdol. Let's go back to the Gemara on Kufav Amin Alf on the bottom of the page. And the Gemara calls the Kiddush by day Kiddusha Rabbah. Okay. Now, he says the following. He says, well, that's going to be one possibly, but let's try not to confuse me, because I had something else to say, and if you're going to hit me with Sagi Nahar, then I'm going to get totally derailed. Okay. He says the following. Why is this Kiddush called Kiddusha Rabbah? So he has a Me'iri. And the Me'iri says the following. That there's something very unusual about this Kiddush. He has in front of him on the table pas and yayin. Now the halacha is that if he's about to embark on a seuda and he has in front of him pas and yayin, guess what? He's not allowed to make a birkas bari pri agafen and drink the wine. He's obligated to recite Hamotzi Lechem in Oretz over the pas. However, if he hasn't yet brought the pas out to the Shulchan, then he's allowed to recite Bor Pri HaGoven and drink from the wine, because that wine is not connected to a Seuda. He hasn't yet brought out a pas. So he's allowed to therefore be Makdim, the Birchas Hayayin and the Shtiyas Hayayin to the Pas. The Pas is not in the picture right now. On the Shulchan all he has is Yayin, and therefore there's no Isur in being Makdim Yayin to Pas. However, in the case of Kiddush on Shabbos, it becomes much more complicated. Why? Because on Shabbos, he is reciting a Bruch on the Yayin before the Pas, and that yayin is meant to be integrated into a suda. You know, during the week you could say, well, there's no pas on the table, and therefore the yayin is independent. But when there's Shabbos, and therefore the yayin is b'makom suda, it begins the suda of Shabbos, then the pas, whether it's on the table or not on the table, has to come first. So what is the matir that allows us to be makdim the yayin to the pas? And that's what's called Kiddusha Rabbah. Kiddusha Rabbah means that this Kiddush is such a great kiyum of Kvod Shabbos that we're going to allow him to do what during the week he's not allowed to do. And not only that, because we're doing something that normally would be prohibited, namely to make a brach on the yayin before the suda on the pas, that itself is Kvod HaShabbos. That indicates to what extent we went ahead and we were Mechabi the Shabbos. We were Mechabi the Shabbos to the point in which we allowed him to switch around the order of the rest of the week and recite the Bor Pri HaGofen first. The Bor Pri HaGofen first is going to be the Kiyum and the demonstration of Kvod HaShabbos, because it's so important to recite this Bracha and recite the Shir El Yayin for the sake of Kvod HaShabbos that we're going to overlook, we're going to look the other way as far as the Iser of Yayin before Pas. And he says the following. Klomar. He says, She ba'ofen hazeh nikar bo hachiluk bein Shabbos l'chol. And he says that this is going to make a heker that Kiddush here is different than Chol. Klomar. She b'chol kisherotza lishtos yayin lifnei ha-se'uda kidei limshol ha-te'ovon osu she'yia pas lefonov. During the meal on a weekday, he's not allowed to have a pas in front of him, because the bread is in front of him and he wants to drink wine to stimulate his appetite. He's not allowed to do so. It's like an insult to the bracha on the pas, which is the Ikar Suda. Lo kein b'Shabbos, but Shabbos by day, where the mitzvah is dafka yayin, a night is a little different because he can make Kiddush al pas, but in the case of day, where the whole mitzvah is to recite Kiddush al yayin, is Yesh Lachalik they meet a Shabbos to meet a Chol the Tiru b'Shabbos Hashtiyah b'Yayin b'Pnei Ha'Inyon Shal Shira Al Yayin u'b'Pnei Ha'Inyon Shal Kavod Shabbos. Now this is interesting. How are we demonstrating that this Yayin is so special? Because we're doing the exact opposite of what we would do during the week. And why are we allowing to do so? In a sense, we're insulting the Suda, the Pas. The answer is because of the special Kiyum of Kvod Shabbos, which according to the Shultas, if you happen to remember, is because he's reciting Shira Alayayin. And the Meiri goes on to say that Yayin is called a bracha rava, not only because, as we said before, in this context, the Yayin takes precedence and trumps the pas, but also because all brachos are always organized over a kos Yayin. And if the Kiddush is the Bar Pri HaGofen, the Bar Pri HaGofen over kos Yayin tells you about the chashivus of this Yayin, that a bracha is recited on the Yayin. It means to say, listen carefully, that this bracha, Bar Pri HaGofen, during the day has a double function. It's not just a classical example of the universal rule of Birchas HaNenin, but it also takes on the special personality of the mitzvah of Kiddush, of Kvod, Shabbos, or Shira, Al HaYayin. And only Yayin has the power to do so. And that's called Kiddusha Rabbah. And then we get to the Rashbam, which is really a Ran, and the Ran says that the Iker Kiddush is Balayla, and therefore the Kiddusha Rabbah is secondary, and therefore we give it a Loshen Sagi Nor. So we really have three different approaches. The Shalom, by the way, gives a very fascinating example. Truma is called Truma Gedola. And why is that so? Because the Truma is the most minimal amount, if there's such a word, most minimal, I don't know, the minimalist amount, because Chita Achas Poter Sakri. So in order not to insult the mitzvah of Truma, we're going to call it Truma Gedola. And the Shalom says that's exactly parallel to why we call Kiddusha on Shabbos Kiddusha Rabbah, because it's the smallest Kiddush that we have. It pales in comparison to Kiddush and Laila. But as far as the other explanations are concerned, the special kiyum of Kvod Hayom, the Gemara had a Havamina that maybe you should even forfeit the Kiddush at night for the sake of Kiddush by day, if you only have one cup of wine, because of the kiyum of Kvod Hayom Adiv.
The Maskana of the Gemara is like the Friday.
The Maskana of the Gemara is based on the fact that there's a certain urgency in Kiddush because it's a Yule Yoma, that we want to be Makadish the entire day. And, but if not for that, if we would just focus on Kvod Hayom, meaning if we would reduce Kiddush only to Kavod HaShabbos, then Enochinami, the Kiddush by day, would be superior and primary vis-a-vis the Kiddush at night. The only reason it's not that way is because there's another dimension to Kiddush. Not only is it Kvod HaShabbos, but it's also Maisa Kiddush. And Vitoris Maisa Kiddush, we want to be Makadish the entire day. The last thing that we wanted to discuss, or maybe it's time for Ma'ariv, we'll open up the door and see if they're ready for Ma'ariv, is that in the case of Havdalah, if you were not able to make Havdalah on Motzi Shabbos, then you'll make Havdalah as late as Tuesday. And that's a very interesting concept which I'd love to talk about Bli Neder. Next Wednesday I don't have a shiur, I won't be here, and we'll pick it up.